Springfield's Talk 104.1. I'm Nick Reed, and it's Thursday, which means it's Author of the Week, sponsored by ABC Books on North Glenstone. Solomon Schmidt, our author today, the book A Pen to Change the World, The Life of J.K. Rowling. Well, and let me ask, because I think I've heard you speak on this, and you pronounce it, is it Rowling's or Rowl? I've always thought it was Rowling. Yeah. Is that an incorrect pronunciation?
Yeah, so Nick, I get it wrong myself too still. It's actually Rowling, and the easy way to remember it is when she was starting to become fabulously wealthy in the early 2000s, there was a nickname for her, which was J.K. Rowling in it, rolling in money. If you ever need to remember.
I shall not forget now, J.K. Rowling in it. Well, this is an interesting book to decide to write, and you've written numerous books. What made you decide you were curious and wanted to tackle this?
I was fascinated, breathtaking is really the right word, by the Harry Potter book series, by its creativity, by the adventure story, by the whole 7-book plot line that was developed over many years by J.K. and how all these strands of the 7 plots through the book series are woven together to this big ultimate finish in book 7, which is the fastest selling book ever in history. Within 24 hours, the 7th volume of Harry Potter sold 11 million copies. 11 million copies in 24 hours. When I found out that the best selling book series of all time was written by a single mother on welfare, battling domestic abuse, depression, the death of loved ones in her life, and so many other personal trials, and poverty, of course, I wanted to know, how the heck did she do this? I mean, the story of J.K. is a story, it's the greatest, perhaps, Cinderella story of our lifetime. It's rags to riches, from welfare to billionaire, and the story of the creation of Harry Potter had not been told in full. I was shocked, Nick, to find that there was not a complete biography of her. There was a full-length book done about 25 years ago, but with all due respect to the author, very out of date. Mm. And I thought, oh my gosh, for people like me who want to know how Harry Potter was created, who is this lady, this single mother on welfare who writes the best-selling book series of all time? We need a comprehensive biography. So this book is going to be about 500 pages with almost 150 full-color photographs, many never before seen, 5 maps specially created for the book, and a family tree of J.K., a real book lover's delight. So I'm really happy that it's going to be filling that gap. And, of course, it will also cover a complete account of her involvement in the controversy over sex and gender, which has pitted her against a community that used to, in many ways, adore her.
Did she have books before Harry Potter, or was she just out of the gate that successful?
Her first published book was Harry Potter, and she had written stories. This is a little encouragement for all aspiring authors out there. She had written different novels, different short stories that had led to dead ends. Her trash bins were metaphorically piled up with manuscripts that had gone nowhere. She had been writing ever since she was 4 years old, basically, and that's all she ever wanted to do. That was her lifelong dream. And then the first Harry Potter book got a wave of publicity when people found out that it was written by a single mother on welfare, and all the newspapers in Britain ran with the story. Single mother on welfare makes big, gets book deal, and then she never looked back. And then it took off in America, and the market there, obviously, here stateside, is so huge that it just compounded off itself. So yeah, she won the lottery. And then you can picture this, in many ways, plain, ordinary, quirky person suddenly being thrust into total limelight, utter fame. Adoration isn't too strong a word. I mean, people would fall down in sobs in bookstores when they saw her for the first time, when she would come and do book tours here in the States. We're talking about Beatlemania, if you see what I mean. That's what it's been compared to. There's nothing like it in the book world that we've ever seen.
Well, and the book obviously is about her, but I'm just curious, why do you think that this book resonated with people the way that it has in the series?
It's a perennial question. It's a question that occupies the minds of lots of different people. What I would offer is just this. it's a combination in my mind of a couple factors. One, it is simply a really fun book to read. Like, it is suspenseful and funny and curious. The series is adventurous and scary. And it's the ultimate story. Like, we just obviously as humans love to read stories. And as one person once said about The Lord of the Rings, it's a darn good story, bottom line. It's just a darn good story. And you couple that with it addressing the most profound and emotional tuggings of the human heart, questions of friendship and self-sacrifice and death and loss and tragedy and triumphing over tyrants and a world beyond what we can see and touch. And from the standpoint of a better world available at our fingertips, a more noble experience to be achieved. That's what fantasy and fiction has offered since the dawn of time. I mean, that's what The Lord of the Rings and Narnia and all these series offer, is this idea of another more wonderful world away from our drab, mundane existence. It was an escape for J.K. herself. She said, as I was writing Harry Potter, I was escaping into it from all of my own battles and difficulties. You know, even just simple things like office jobs that she hated. You know, she would leave her coworkers at lunchtime, and with half hour to herself, she would be writing her stories and thinking up, ooh, what would my wizards and witches play? Oh, they'd play on broomsticks. They'd play a sport called Quidditch with balls that fly around and smash into each other. I mean, just this, she's just this fountain of creativity that was triggered. Her creativity in a lot of ways was triggered by, without trying to sound overly Freudian, a lot of trauma and torture from her past, but also just by the inner workings of a mind that we can't put our finger on the pulse of. It's like trying to understand how Leonardo da Vinci came up with his paintings. I have no idea. How did Albert Einstein come up with E=mc²? Who knows? How did J.K. Rowling come up with Harry Potter? Well, I tried to give some answers in the book, and that was a very exciting journey. I certainly didn't claim to peg down how her mind works, as though any of us could do that. But I did give readers the story from her perspective, a window over her shoulder, you might say, as she's writing the manuscripts. And there are links to her personal life as to what events and people inspired the characters and storylines throughout the 7-book series.
We're talking with Solomon Schmidt, author of A Pen to Change the World, The Life of J.K. Rowling. And you mentioned you know, how these characters are developed, and I know that her father and that relationship she had, according to what you've found, was instrumental in shaping the Harry Potter series or characters, and it wasn't a great relationship she had.
Unfortunately not. Her relationship with her father was one of the key aspects of this book, and it begins with a very sad reality, which also ties into J.K.'s passionate response to the transgender controversy, which is that J.K. Rowling was born in the wrong gender. She was supposed to be a boy. Her father wanted a son, had the name picked out. And here's the killer. He told her that as she grew up. So she knew she was a disappointment to him through her childhood. Make of that what you will. And then later on, you fast forward 45, 50 years later, when she's writing her essay explaining why she's so passionate about the transgender controversy, she said, "If I had had these transitioning opportunities available to me when I was a teenager, I think I could have been persuaded to turn myself into the son my father openly said he'd have preferred." So that's one major factor. But then when it comes to Harry Potter, people who have read the series may notice they're full of idealized father figures. There was one character in particular. J.K.'s pretty notorious for killing off her characters. But there was one character she could not bring herself to kill because that was the father figure she herself desperately wanted. So I go into all of that in the book. And as it pertains to death, of course, the sad thing here, Nick, is her mother, Anne, passed away of MS at a critical moment in J.K.'s life. And J.K.'s grief and her turmoil over that was, in a crazy way, a an impetus, a driving force behind her writing of Harry Potter, and the fact that Harry Potter himself has to confront the depths of people around him and push on and press on and live for the people who are still around him, and ultimately, eventually, sacrifice himself and become the ultimate hero. And so in my mind, in this book, one of the real heroes of the story is J.K.'s mother, Anne, who was a very sweet, lovely lady who faced this debilitating, crippling illness, and but ultimately was kind and loving through it all, and taught J.K. so much about life and love and family, which itself was a major force in inspiring J.K. to write about all those themes in Harry Potter and her future work as well. To J.K. is very philanthropic. You know, she does a lot for causes like the MS Society in the UK or the cancer research, and also more headline grabbing philanthropic work like saving women from the Taliban in Afghanistan and helping Ukrainian refugees and a worldwide movement to reunite institutionalized children with their families in very poor countries. I go into all that in the book as well. J.K. has taken her wealth and her influence and used it to shine a spotlight on what she sees as the deepest, darkest corners of our own world. That's a whole nother fascinating aspect of her life.
Well, and I wanted to finally ask, and then any final thoughts you have as we talk with our author of the week, Solomon Schmidt, the book A Pen to Change the World, The Life of J.K. Rowling. She wasn't exactly a willful collaborator with you on this. How did you get all of your information?
I wanted this to be an authorized biography. I was told through her team that it was nothing personal, but that she didn't want to authorize it. And I explained that I wouldn't be trying to dig up dirt, but, you know, me and so many other millions of people around the globe wanted a resource about her life and the story of how she created Harry Potter. And the good news for me was there were databases online. These wonderful fans of her work had archived and transcribed hundreds of interviews she had given from 1997 on, in which she covered so many aspects of her life and specific details about her creation of Harry Potter. I ended up consulting about 75 books for this, for my research, 5,000 articles and about 1,000 video interviews with JK. There were so many interviews I consulted, Nick, that in the bibliography to the book, we had to put a little QR code because we couldn't fit all of the URLs. It would have been a 2,000-page book. So we had to put a QR code to take people to my bibliography of the articles and video links online. But there's a large source note section as well at the back. So anytime people have a question about where I got this fact about her first marriage in which she suffered domestic abuse, that'll be cited right in the book. I mean, I interviewed her first husband in Porto, Portugal. So some of my information came from interviews with colleagues or family members who have never spoken before, or her first publisher, her teachers from high school. I was able to get the involvement of some integral people in her life, which was very interesting and gave a lot of different color and content to the story.
And final thoughts for listeners this morning.
Final thoughts are this book will change, I think will change your life if you read it, because writing it and researching it changed my life. Now that sounds very pretentious, I'm sure, but there are some aspects of J.K.'s story that stick with you forever. They change you when you see this single mother on welfare writing the best-selling book series of all time, to be with her in the cafes as she's pushing her baby in a stroller with one hand and writing this profoundly creative and funny and deep series with her right hand, to be there, to see that, to follow along with her in this journey. It's a life-changing journey. And I hope, and people have told me who have seen copies of it before and who have read it, that it is a really exciting read, that her story is engrossing and attention grabbing, and it you go through the highs and lows of JK's life, and it's a what I hope a really emotionally satisfying experience that is just thrilling as you journey with her from welfare to billionaire through all the twists and turns through the Harry Potter saga, which no one's ever seen anything the likes of before, and JK lived it. It's a unique Cinderella story of our lifetime. And of course, the postscript to this, which is that Cinderella then goes and in some ways gives up a lot of the best parts of her life to wade into these controversies over the last 7 years, which have resulted in death threats to her, threats to her family. And you'll get to learn why would a woman with everything to lose, a billionaire with all the comforts that life has to offer, wade into this? And what has she said? What has been the result of that? And how has she changed our culture today through that? So that's a final rambling, hopefully not too arrogant sounding final thought.
Solomon Schmidt, the book, A Pen to Change the World, The Life of J.K. Rowling, sponsored by our Author of the Week, ABC Books on North Glenstone. For Springfield's Talk 104.1, I'm Nick Reed.